Yes. Pause. All right, so here's the three that I would do. I want to do Light No Fire. Okay. Openly yawning in front of me. Not just yawning, but throwing your fucking head back like you're in a fucking modeling convention. What the fuck are you doing?
I'm tired.
That's fine. Don't yawn in front of me, man. Jesus. Or at least try and hide it. When I yawn, I do it into my hand. This guy over
usually,
here.
Usually, if you'll ever notice when I'm like this and I slowly sink down like this.
That's respectable. You throwing your head back. Like that weird cartoon in the day with the toothbrush is not acceptable.
Like the what?
The weird cartoon with the toothbrush? The flip-top head toothbrush? The toothbrush head? Flip-top head?
Flip-top head.
Oh, my God. Now I've got to, like, school you on old-school TV. Hold on.
Flip-top head toothbrush. This is a product?
No. It was an ad. Flip-top head ad. Oh, there it is. It's 1991. It's for the Reach. Shit. Copy. Boop. Boop. Watch. It was an infamous ad.
Let me see here.
To clean your hard-to-reach back teeth, you can either get a flip-top head.
I've never seen this.
To clean your hard-to-reach back teeth, you can either get a flip-top head or get a reach. Even the voice is ridiculous. It's over the top.
Yeah, I don't recall that. I mean, to be fair, in
1991... Don't you do it! Don't you do it! How dare you?
I was 2 years old.
I hate everything right now. In 1991, I was fucking 10, you cocksucker. All right, let's get into this.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible gaming podcast.
Hello, my name is Zachariah with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, for whatever reason, have decided to listen to another horrible gaming podcast. With me is...
Neil, aka Tiny Wizard.
That's right. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got an interesting show for you today. One that has quite literally come up just before.
Instantaneously.
But I'm suddenly very excited about it. But we've got a disclaimer. Disclaimer here. This is our last, I don't want to say live recorded show, but this is our last concurrently recorded show of 2023. So what's happening right now? Next week after Christmas, you're going to get the Horrible Game Awards, the fifth annual. Week after that, you're going to have our annual year-in-review show with special guest Phil Billy. We're going to look at the year of 2023, what we liked, what we didn't like, and then we're going to also tell you what we're looking forward to in the near future. And then we will be back recording on our regular schedule and reading all your fan reactions the week after that. So please, fan traction it up. Comment all you want. I would appreciate it. We will make sure to get them all in, I promise. But this is it for the holidays. Now, with that said, we've got an interesting show for you today. We're going to possibly start a new tradition. I don't know. We are going to take a number of games. I think five, maybe four. We haven't quite decided that yet. And we are going to talk about them. They are games that are supposed to come out next year, or at least rumored to come out next year. We are going to decide whether we think they are going to be failures or successes. And we're going to try and predict the IGN score. This is my favorite part. So get ready for the number seven. All right.
Lots of sevens. Lots of sevens everywhere.
Lots of sevens. And yeah, that's it. That's all the things. That's all the things. So before that, we got to thank the people who have made this possible. Behind our ugly mugs, you're seeing a custom graphic that is provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And then, of course, this show and all the shows here's theme music is provided by the man who makes the music, my brother Nick Van Sliders. We thank him for that. Be right back for Fans Reaction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us our first segment, our most important segment, that is Fan Traction. That's where we, the co-hosts, we talk to you guys, the fans. We answer your questions in all the places we may or may not find them. So, starting it off, our most quantity commenter, Jason. After BG3 ate my saves, this was the thing, I started a game, then made a player two and disconnected. Oh, we're going to talk about this. Him and had an extra character for the Nautiloid, and then I replaced him when I got Asterion. So I'm considering doing a duo with the playthrough with two PCs. So I'm going to tell you this right now, Jason. This is the only way I play this game now. After I have completed the game the first time with, I won't say my original character, but the character that I like the most. All my games from that point on, I have made two characters right off the bat. And then I have disconnected the second character, and I switched between the two of them so that I can get more of the story. Because, so right now, my player two character is romancing Lyzelle, while my player one character, this is my evil playthrough, but my player one player character is probably going to romance, well, the Guardian. No spoilers for anybody else. It's a lot of fun. Because you get more of the game. It's tricky to get the timing down, because sometimes, like, conversations just start, and you're the wrong person. But it's really cool to have two different characters and getting the story in just a wider berth, honestly. I'm very much enjoying it. So that's the only way I play BG now, is with two-player characters, which is very easy to do. You just start the game, while you connect a second controller, you make both characters in split-screen, you get through that opening cutscene, you have the second player disconnect, and then you just, that's it. You've got two characters that you just switch between and play however you want to. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely something at some point I'd want to try out. Lord knows I don't even have enough time for my playthrough that I'm doing with Kayla right now, so you know, sometime in the future eventually I'll do it.
You know what's really cool about that game too, it just continues to surprise me. I was kind of done with it and I was ready to move on, and if for no other reason than we were talking about it so much, but maybe catch up on some of the other to-do list gaming that I have, and then I decided to try an evil playthrough. It's a whole nother fucking game. It's a completely, completely different thing. I've already gone through Act 1 in a completely different way. Like, all the story has been completely different than it was before. I mean, with the exception of the very big overtures, like, it's just a completely different vibe and feel. Like, love it. Absolutely love it. There's just so much in that game that you miss every time because you're just playing it a certain way, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's wild. I get the feeling we keep likening this game to, like, the Skyrim feel. And I feel like this is going to be one of those games that's going to be looked back on so fondly that, like, it's going to be ported over to new consoles remastered multiple times. Yeah. Like, this is, like, one of those legacy games.
We're going to have this on every system for the next 25 years, without a doubt. And honestly, I'm okay with it. I mean, it's a little annoying with Skyrim. I totally agree with that, guys. They just keep selling the same game. But at the same time, I'm also a dude who has bought it on three different systems, like, three different times. Well, so, like, I can't really comment on that. moving on, Jason. I saw a video about the day before the other day. It's ridiculous. Cyberpunk 2077 is a great game. They really put the work... Oh, I have to hit that read more button. They really put the work into it to rectify the issues like No Man's Sky did. Oh, I hate this comparison. They're getting praise for it from people I trust. When I get back to work in January, I'll be getting the Phantom Liberty. Baldur's Gate 3 and Remnant 2 DLC sort of took most of my remaining year, late year resources. That's awesome. I'm going to say this. That's fine. I'm glad they're turning around. They did not do it as well as No Man's Sky did. There was just too much bullshit from them right off the bat to be able to, like, forgive them on that. I'm sorry, I just can't. But, great, you like it. Great, other people like it. Don't really give a shit. They lied to me, and then they treated me like shit afterwards, and I'm not happy about that. No Man's Sky never treated me like shit. No Man's Sky, to my knowledge, didn't treat anybody like shit other than not living up to expectations. So, fuck CDPR.
So I do have to say, whenever we were doing the pre-recording the other night when we were down here, Kayla had made mention that she was going to restart Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
And after I came back upstairs, she was like wide-eyed almost. She's like, it's a totally different game. Like, you could sell me this game as a brand new game. I'm like, oh, Jesus, it's like that. Yeah, I mean, it definitely, I'm glad that they've made the improvements that they have. I myself would love to get back into it, add it to the growing list of shit that I need to do and play.
Yeah. I'm Pepperidge Farm, baby. I remember. And
no, I mean, there's definitely...
I can't.
The thing is, there's a world for both things.
Yeah.
There's a world for, you know, them fixing it and things getting better overall, but there's also the world in which that, you know, we don't forget what happened.
Well, and the thing
is... Remember, it was so bad that Sony pulled it from the store.
Yeah. Never happened. Like, with
GameStop
No Man's
Sky, was starting right. to take returns.
Right. Like, I'm gonna say this right now. My problem is not somebody liking Cyberpunk. Like Cyberpunk, I don't mind. I really am dead fucking sick of this comparison to No Man's Sky. The only comparison that should be made is the outcome, which is that both games are quality now. But there is no other comparison. No Man's Sky was a playable game when it came out. Cyberpunk was not, on many different platforms and systems. And even the ones where it was playable, it was so buggy, it was terrible. It got pulled from the Sony store. Like, that never happened. Like, there's no comparison. No Man's Sky handled their shit way better and was a way better product to start than Cyberpunk was. Fine, Cyberpunk turned it around. Stop comparing it to No Man's Sky, because No Man's Sky, it's a completely different thing. The only similarity between these two is that they both did not live up to expectations in the beginning, and that they're both good now. But the level of expectations that Cyberpunk broke was way more than No Man's Sky. Backlash was way worse, and they handled it way worse. And I don't care what anybody says, that is my position, I stick to it. As far as the day before, though, I don't know if I should bust one of my newsy bits now, but,
you may as well, here's, because we're talking about it.
I want to say this right now, which is something that I have to get out there. To the people out there who are like, what happened? This is a shit show. Why did this happen? Blah, 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 blah. And Jason's in my camp on this, so I'm not saying that this is on him or anything, because I know this is coming from his comment. But this was a con from start to finish. This is all this was. This company looked at what happened with Cyberpunk and said, what if we tried to do that? And then we shut down and didn't allow them to get any money back. There's no chance for these people to get refunds because they've shut their company down and switched their names. Like, this company seriously did this on purpose. Anybody who thinks otherwise is crazy. They flipped and recycled assets. They overhyped the entire business. They used volunteers to put something out so that they could sell it. Then they took your money because they didn't spend any on making this. And that is something that people need to understand. This wasn't like a mistake or like a failure or like anything like this. This was 100% what the people at Fantastic were trying to do from moment one. You look at their history, they've had nothing but shitty, scammy, crappy games. But they looked at how hyped people got over Cyberpunk, how much they could get away with it, and they just said, what if we did that, but we shut down the doors afterwards? And they are getting away with this, and I pray to any merciful God that is out there that some authorities see what they have done. And because this is basically like a fucking Ponzi scheme at this point. Like, somebody needs to be arrested and put in jail for this. Like, that's how bad this is. They have defrauded the American people. Hell, they have defrauded a worldwide people. That's what they've done.
Yeah. And after, you know, after the shutdown of the studio and everything, it kind of really hollows out that letter that they kind of penned, like,
yep,
people worked on this, people put effort into it and everything like that. Like, it's not necessarily the fact that the studio is shutting down. It's just the writing had to have been on the wall when they penned that letter. This had to have been a discussion that was made.
There's no writing on the wall. There's no writing on the wall. This was the plan, Neil. This was the plan.
Then that's the thing. It's not
like they were like in a dire straits and about to shut down and didn't tell us. They were like, we are going to screw them over. We are going to fuck them over, take the money, and shut the doors.
And that's what I was getting at. Okay. Like, in no realm was it going to be a surprise. Mm-mm. Like, this had to have been a discussion that was made ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So they went ahead and just cut everything loose. And, like, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, we're giving money back to people who put and invested mm-hmm. into it and yada, 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 this, yep, that, and the other. At least they're doing that, thank God. But at the end of the day, it all manner form of this game was just overpromised trash.
This was a scam. They sold hype. Yeah. They straight up sold hype. They were like, oh, you know, I don't even necessarily think Cyberpunk meant to necessarily scam people. It was just a train wreck. Mm-hmm. But like, these guys meant to scam people. They looked at what happened there. We're like, we could just sell hype. We could just sell hype and shut the doors and nobody's going to stop us, and nobody has. The fact that they shut the fucking company down 2 days after this game came out, like, yeah, cements it. You don't do that. You don't do that. There's no way. There's no way they were like that close to financial end that 48 hours was the difference between closing the doors or not. Like, a month? Maybe. No, they were like, okay, we sold it. Everybody's pissed. We're out. They hit the eject button. Like, it was like 48 hours was the right amount of time to get their nut. And the thing is, too, all the shit leading up to this where they were like, we have people working on volunteer status and stuff like that. Like, they didn't spend any money. So, like, even if this was a financial failure, it's not. Because they didn't spend anywhere near the amount of money that other companies did because they didn't make a game. That's the thing. Like, they just took assets and they had volunteers recycle them and then they released that to us for $50 as the next greatest thing in gaming, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This is a scam, 100%, until somebody shows me some absolute proof otherwise. These people, this was the entire plan. And that scares me that we've gotten to that level that, like, it's not even big fuck-ups or it's not even something that could be debated. Well, not debated. It could be debated. But, like, it's very clear what happened here. Like, to the point where, like, we're not even talking about people fucking up anymore. We're talking about people using this system that is so broken to just defraud people for millions of dollars, you know?
Right.
And that's really pissing me off. So, moving on. Asylum 66. I'll stand on the hill. Can't wait for 5 years to see what OD is all about. Death Stranding is that person you slept with that you would never tell your friends about, but oddly enjoyed. Weird fucking statement, Asylum. I'm going to tell you what OD is. You don't have to wait 5 years. It's going to be overhyped nonsense that comes out as just a normal game with one cool feature that had nothing to do with Kojima, who writes a bunch of egotistical nonsense into his fucking shit. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be an incoherent, stupid plot that everybody loses their absolute balls over, while there's a system in there that's kind of cool, but just obscured by 37-minute cutscenes. There you go. I did it for you, Zylum. You don't have to wait on that hill anymore, buddy. You can come down. Play some good games.
So, I mean, well, so here's the thing, too. They've actually announced that they're doing a Death Stranding TV show, I believe it was. Oh.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, it was either... it was a movie. I'm sorry.
Thank God,
yeah.
I don't have to review those, so somebody can't request me to do it and force me.
Here is the only.
You know who you are out there.
Here is the only bit of this that gives me a little bit of hope for that Death Stranding movie. The studio that's doing it is the A42. They did. Everything Everywhere All at Once. Mm-hmm. They've done a couple other like sort of like horror-ish things. Kojima is deeply involved in it, but not necessarily running the show. So I would be very, very interested to see what that movie turns out to be like.
If you pick up a piece of shit off the ground, okay, it doesn't matter what animal, just a piece of shit off the ground, and you take that piece of shit, right? And you spray chrome all over it so that it's really shiny, you know, and it just looks beautiful, you know. Do you know what that is? It's still a piece of shit. I will not be partaking. You can put all the nice studios on it, all the nice directors on it. The core of it is poop, okay? And I'm just not, I don't have time for poop. I don't have time for poop.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, but, you know, I feel like that there's something, there's the potential for something there, I think, at least. Enough of a potential to where if it was a Netflix, straight to Netflix movie, I would watch it out of sheer curiosity.
I will not.
As for paying money to go see it, it's definitely going to be a wait to see what the reviews say first
situation. I mean, in fairness, I go to see movies like once in a million years, and they're usually like Sing 3, like children movies. So, like, I probably won't be seeing it anyway. But then on to William Holman. Hi! Exclamation point. Ugh! I meant 2 years ago, not 12, on the jelly note thing. The day before, aka shutting down the whole studio the day after. What a train wreck, really. If we stop watching the Game Awards, we will stop getting bland, boring advertisements show. I don't know about that. I understand liking physical media, but I feel you can lose access to your games even if you have the disc. If Sony or Microsoft decides you don't have the rights to use it anymore, it's sad, but it is what it is. Thanks for the show. Hashtag Starfield not boring, says Bethesda. We actually said that last time in the show. Physical media does not matter anymore. When it comes to games, it does not matter anymore. You can have all the discs you want, unless you're looking at like old consoles, like old like Nintendo, Super Nintendo, maybe even the 360, like older stuff that wasn't like always connected to the internet. Fine, but anything that's come out past like, I'd say Xbox One, PlayStation 3, those aren't yours. They haven't been yours because at any point in time, you can pop that in and they can send a little code and it just won't work anymore. Period. Like, the companies have that ability. I mean, hell, every game you buy now has a day one patch. If you don't connect to the internet, you're not playing that fucking game. So, like, that's how they work. You don't own anything, really. Even with physical, in gaming space, I would say.
And, honestly, more to William's point, even if it's something like DVDs, Some of the higher end DVD Blu-ray players, you know, they have an internet connection set to them. There's nothing stopping them from pushing out an update saying, you know, movies with this signature on the disc cannot be played on this device.
Right.
You know, there absolutely nothing stopping them from doing that, which I think that's going to be the next thing.
Well, and the thing is, you know, your DVDs, your Blu-rays, they're not that prevalent anymore. And not necessarily the things, but getting those discs, even those forms of media are going away because it's so much easier to gatekeep when it's a streaming service, you know?
Right.
Back to Jason. Jordan Peele made a deal with the devil. Working with Kojima has a price. Amen, Jason. Amen. Yeah. Fist bump me, dog. Fist bump me. Because, yeah, I was very sad to see Jordan Peele up there on stage because I have a ton of respect for that guy. And now I have slightly less because Kojima is a psychopath. The internet never forgets, no matter how hard you scrub, since Jason. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe. I feel like the internet forgets. I mean, just the fact that Cyberpunk 2077's good kind of makes me feel like the internet forgets, except for me. So,
I don't know. Think the internet, as the hive mind of you, never forgets.
That's possible. Right. It's all stored there. I just think the collective brain of the internet definitely forgets shit eventually. Don't think Cyberpunk 77 deserves best anything, says Jason. I feel like I'm having a conversation with him. Like the way his comments have gone back and forth, like I'll respond to one of his comments and then like his next comment only almost agrees with mine. Like it's very strange. I feel like we're having a temporal conversation here. Don't think CP77 deserves best anything. It's a good game, but there are many others that deserve best ongoing game. Hey, look, I will say this, and it'll make me sound a little hypocritical, but I think Cyberpunk 77 has done something amazing here. I don't want people to underestimate what I'm saying. I think Cyberpunk 77 has taken what was one of the biggest shit shows in gaming history and turned it around to a positive. That kind of hole to dig out of that in gaming is really hard, it's really difficult, and it's pretty amazing when you accomplish it. So, like, I don't necessarily think they didn't deserve it from that standpoint, because when you look at, like, when you look at what they accomplished versus what other people, and it's almost not fair, because what the other people accomplished was being good and staying good, whereas Cyberpunk 77 went from shit to good. But again, that to me, that's kind of a bigger accomplishment. I just don't like the comparison to No Man's Sky at all. That's my big rage point, is I just don't like that comparison. I think these companies handled this completely different. I think No Man's Sky way of handling it is way better than Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk has only given us one really major DLC, and most of the content in that DLC is paid, whereas No Man's Sky has given us nothing but free DLC basically once every 2 months since it came out. So, like, those two comparisons, they just the way they've tracked back to this point, I think the destination is the same. I just wish all the big people would stop making comparisons to them, because while the destination is the same, you know, it's like saying, like, Donald Trump and Barack Obama both became presidents the same way. You know what I mean? Like, they both became presidents, so let's compare them. No, it was a completely different thing. Every presidency was a completely different. Anytime you get to the same destination, anybody can get to it different ways. And I hate this comparison that these two are the same. They're really not. I don't respect a lot of the things that Cyberpunk did to get to the where they are. They're where they are, and I appreciate it. I don't respect it. And then finally, Jason says, in the future, you will own nothing and you will be happy. Okay? Don't know about that. I like owning things, but I don't know what else to say about that.
So then you'll just own nothing and right? be upset about it.
Well, that is fan interaction. So let's have some fun with this show. Let's get into this talking point. And we're going to try and guess some IGN scores.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
So yeah, I have three as well.
Okay. What ones? So
yeah, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Okay, that'll be hard for me.
The Princess Peach Showtime.
That'll be hard for me. Okay.
And the new next year's Call of Duty.
Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah. Are they doing one next year? Are they doing it annually again?
Okay. Probably. They haven't said otherwise.
All right. Let's do it then. Going in. 3, 2, 1. All right. This is our talking point. We're super excited about this. Six games slated probably for release next year. That we want to talk about, we want to discuss, we're excited about, but instead of just talking about them, we're going to have some fun. Neil has the infamous sticky note up, and what we're going to do is we're going to, Phil's going to want in on this next year, I know he is. Phil, we would have invited you to this, we literally decided to do it 10 seconds before we went on air. we didn't even know
notion that we were gonna do something else, and it didn't pan out.
Neil thought I got into the skull and bones beta.
It was 15 minutes of us just sitting here going at each
yeah.
other.
Yeah. I'm happy with this one though. So what we're gonna do, we're gonna try and decide whether these games are gonna be successes or failures, then we're both gonna give a prediction on what the IGN rating will be. IGN rates on a 1 to 10 basis, and by that I mean they rate from a 6 to 10 basis.
Right.
And, there you go. We're going to record that, and when they come out, we're going to look back and see what we got. So, let's do it. Which one do we want to start with? Do we start with one of mine, one of yours? I mean, we're doing them universally. We just each brought three to the table.
Yeah. Point of clarification then, are we going to guess what our individual guesses as to what the score is going to be?
Yeah.
Okay then.
So we'll say a game, we'll each talk about why we think it's going to be a success or a failure. And then at the end of our talk, we'll be like, I think it's going to get a 7, and then you'll do the same thing for that game as well. And so it should be, so for 6 games, should be 2 scores recorded.
All right. Yeah, let me just change how I have this set up.
Neil's, this is his second job that he's ever had to do, so.
Yeah.
That's when He's done stuff, guys.
When I tell y'all that we're really, like, flowing through this as it's going, like, I'm actively making changes to the sticky note right now.
All right. Okay. So what... Where should we start?
So I'll just start with my first one.
Knock
honestly, that I think it's going to be the biggest release of the year.
Is this one the hard one for me?
It's going to be one of the harder ones for you.
All right.
I think we joked about it so much that we didn't anticipate this game coming as soon as it is.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII.
Or ever.
The Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. The next part of the Final Fantasy VII remake is going to be coming out in literally like 2 months from now, which is absolutely fucking insane to think about.
Mm-hmm.
I, as somebody who never played the OG Final Fantasy VII, I've told the story before. I started playing it, save file corrupted, walked away from 8 hours of progress, never went back. Has gone through all of the other Final Fantasy VII related media, Advent Children, Dirge of Cerberus, Crisis Core, and the Final Fantasy VII remake, the first part.
Right.
I'm very interested in this game, and definitely am going to end up picking it up when it comes out.
All right.
I think that this is going to come across as a 9 out of 10.
Ooh. High praise. They don't give a lot of 9s and 10s out. Okay. All right. So my thoughts. I looked it up while we were talking. I looked up remake, Final Fantasy VII remake. It got an 8 out of 10. So you're not exactly wrong. Now, to not get spoilers, correct me if I'm wrong. Remake, at the end of Remake, it diverges from the storyline of the original game, correct? So yes. Rebirth is going to almost be kind of its own thing.
Effectively.
Okay. All right. You don't have to explain.
In the broadest stroke, yes.
Okay, because I got to make broad strokes. Because I saw this game. I think it looks interesting. I actually liked what they did with the combat system. I think it was a much needed change to the original and the old school JRPG turn-based trading punches thing. I think it will go the other way by 1 point. I think we're going to get a verdict of a 7 on that. And I mean, that is kind of a safer bet. And in fairness, this is a harder one for me to nail down because I never really played the first one. And this is not an area that I am expert teased in any way. I didn't like Final Fantasy VII. I hated 8, and I never went back. So here's the thing. Here's what I think the reasoning for it is. I think that one of the big reasons that Remake was so successful and got people going was that nostalgia. It hit the nostalgia feels correctly while changing enough minor things. But overall, people were really excited to go play it and see the places that they saw before in this new kind of light, in this new kind of area. Going through the original city, dealing with Shinra, stuff like that. I think that because of that, taking it to a new place in this rebirth is going to hurt it a little bit because the nostalgia feel will go down slightly because, okay, well, if they're not doing the same rest of the game, I don't get to see this, I don't get to see this, I don't get to see this. And I think that's going to hurt it a little bit. Also, I think they're going to have a hard time with direction because, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't the guy doing these one of the guys who worked on Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that's my problem. I think we're going to turn into that, oh, we don't know what the fuck's going on storyline because we've already diverged a little bit. So, like, and this guy just likes to diverge too much. I feel like we're going to take a turn into that kind of weird broken continuity a little bit. And I think that's going to hurt it overall just a little bit. I think it'll still be a good game, maybe even a Game of the Year contender. But I think that it'll go down via IGN to a 7.
So just to piggyback a little bit off of what you said before we move on to the next one.
About to say, we got 6 to do.
Yes. real briefly.
I'll let you go second on the next one.
I would definitely say, to your point, I can see a world where it does get a 7 instead of an 8. Because if y'all remember, this Final Fantasy VII Remake came about of a PS3 tech demo that was so highly demanded that they decided to say, hey, let's actually fucking do it. So, I mean, I could see the nostalgia factor kind of wearing off to some degree.
Yeah.
With that and making it slip that 1 point. And the other thing I was going to say, in regard to like the story stuff, being as vague as humanly possible, they're already in the last hour or so of the game. They planted a lot of what the fuck seeds, so to speak,
right,
in regards to the story stuff.
Sounds about right.
Because they just start, they start doing banana sandwich stuff that wasn't even like, wasn't even a spin-off of, or like a different interpretation of something that happened in the original Final Fantasy VII, as near as I can tell. Right. It's like it's a whole like last hour, 2 hours of the game is new ass new.
Right. Okay, so my turn to pick one of the ones that I want to talk about, right?
Yes.
Okay, this one, I'm going to pick this one first, and this does not technically have a release date. However, all of the major speculation online is that it is going to be coming out New Year and probably sooner than we think. So I'm going to kind of make the call that it's coming out next year. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that would be Light No Fire. Hello Games' fantasy epic that was just announced at the Game Awards. I know it was just announced, but we saw a lot of gameplay in that announcement trailer. And this is how Hello Games likes to do things now with No Man's Sky, is they show a trailer like that and then something comes out 2 months later. I don't think it's going to be 2 months later with a game, but I think we're definitely going to get it next year. And that's objectively. That's not just my overabundance of hype and excitement. I could be very wrong, but that's what I think. So, what do I think Light No Sky is going to get? I think it's going to get an 8. I think it's going to get a solid 8. I think it'll be better than an 8 overall, and I think it'll be a 10 by the time they're done with it. But I think, first of all, they're going to come out solid. Hopefully, they will come out a little bit better than the state. Just don't overpromise, basically, Sean Murray, which we're going to talk about a little bit in the newsy bits. But as long as he doesn't overpromise, I think it's going to be a solid fantasy game with a lot of room to improvement. And then we're going to see basically what we've seen from No Man's Sky, which is a two-month upgrade. Every 2 months, we're going to get another upgrade that adds a new little feature. They're just going to keep doing that like they do with No Man's Sky. That being said, I think the initial outing will be touted as kind of like, this is good, this is solid, it's got a lot of potential. So I think we'll get an 8 on that one.
I love that you subconsciously called it Light No Sky when you first said the name.
Oh, did I? Shit. Yeah. Sorry, everybody. Sorry. Light No Sky? No Man's Fire?
No Man's Fire?
That'd be pretty good, too. No Man's
Fire would be cool as shit.
These are all future sequels. And then Hello Games will just have the most confusing library on the planet.
It's like a multiverse thing.
They're all three words that don't necessarily make sense with anything.
Sky No Man.
Fire Light Sky.
They start adding like a confused twist on the end.
So what's your verdict on Light No Fire?
Light No Fire, I think, is... I'm back and forth between a 7 and an 8 on. I think that Hello Games has learned their lesson. Yeah. After everything that went down with No Man's Sky, I mean, Sean Murray basically said that they like retreated and hid away for a long time.
Which is what you do.
Yeah.
What you should do when you fail.
Yeah. So with that, I definitely think that they know what they're doing this time around. And I think it was a good idea to contain everything to a single planet.
Yeah.
Because that can at least give you a limit of the scope. While it's a broad scope, like No Man's Sky was infinite, endless, billions and trillions of planets just go for literally ever, run until the generation runs out. Now, I think, though, what's going to end up happening is I wonder if, due to the turnaround time of this between them working on No Man's Sky at the same time, I think the generation isn't going to be as strong right from the jump.
Mm. That's possible.
I think I'm leaning more towards a 7 than an 8 on that.
Solid choice for IGN. They're overall average.
They love them some 7.
They all love them 7.
7 up.
That's fair. I don't, since you got a rebut on the first one, I don't think that we're going to see like updates right out the door. Like, that's not what I meant. I just think that, like, it's going to come out, and then they're going to just... I think they're just going to do what they did with No Man's Sky and just solidly keep, like, okay, here's a new type of dragon to find. Here's a new type of dungeon to find. Here's a new building to build. You know what I mean? Just a little bump every time. Just that extra quality to just make it... Just keep... They like to just keep giving you reasons to come back to the game, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that that's what we're going to see from them. Again, I think they've learned, if for nothing else, then I don't think No Man's Sky would have had the problems that it had if Sean Murray hadn't said a lot of stuff before it came out. I don't think the problem was No Man's Sky. I think the problem was Sean Murray being like, you're gonna be able to do this, you're gonna be able to do this. And I think most of that was like planned, but I don't think it was ever gonna make it into that original game. He overpromised. So when it came out, it was like, what is this? This is not what was promised. And now it kind of is. I think this time around, he's kind of like, okay, I'm going to promise like 6 things, and then I'm going to shut the fuck up until this game comes out. And I think it's already indicative of that, because I think, because No Man's Sky, he was talking about No Man's Sky 5 years before it came out. You know what I mean? Like, he was hyping the shit out of that. This time, we haven't heard anything about it, and I think it's coming out next year. So right off the bat, he's already done better with that, you know?
Yeah, and the press tour for No Man's Sky was wild.
Yeah.
Like, he was even on, like, frickin' Colbert. Like, showing it off.
Yeah.
Showing it off, and everybody's like, woo, this is great. This is amazing. And I think at that point, he was already underwater, but he had to stick to his story and just hope to God they could pull it off.
Yeah.
They did it. It just took him a couple years to do it.
Yeah. Your turn, man.
So, speaking of some shit that's going to be pretty middle of the road, but IGN's going to score highly.
Mm-hmm.
That Princess Peach Showtime game that Nintendo's putting out, something like that, it's going to be full of the standard Nintendo faffery. You know, every single level is going to have its own gimmick. The whole thing is going to be like full of like waggle tech and mini games. And it's going to be like extremely easy, you know, aimed at a very particular gamer. A solid 6, which is why I'm going to say IGN's going to give it a 9.
This is a tough one for me because Nintendo is both known for gimmicky faffery, as you called it a second ago, but they're also known for taking games that look like gimmicky faffery and making them ridiculously deep, even though they shouldn't be. So, I don't know. It's tough. I do think 9 is the score. I am going to echo your score there. I think that, like, you'll either get it your way or you'll get it my way where it's actually good. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's tricky. You know what I mean? Because
it definitely is. Yeah.
If Nintendo has a game where like every level is a different gimmick or whatever, but they do it in a way that it has depth, that could be really cool. I could see people at IGN getting really excited about that, especially if it has replayability. Like if you can take like the different outfits into different levels and get different things with it, you know, like that'll really excite all of those idiots over there. So like, I think that like there is a potential for it being an actual quality product that gets a 9, but I think either way it's going to get a 9.
See, that's the thing, the issue that I had with Luigi's Mansion 3. Luigi's Mansion 3 was kind of like that to some degree. There were like, you know, gimmicks and power-ups and stuff like that that you got, but usually you only used them like 2 or 3 times. And one of them in particular was a power up that was like a 3-hour side quest, basically, that you used only for that single time. You may as well have been just called it like a key at that point to progress the story. There's no calling it a power up is not, you know, that's not it. Putting that in your tool belt, that ain't it. I feel like this Princess Peach Showtime, kind of like you'd mentioned too, if it's one of those things where you can take the outfits and the abilities and put, you know, stuff to be used for them, you know, in different levels, or like, hey, it's like, this is what you have to do. Use the tools in your tool belt to get it done based on your abilities and how you can make those abilities work, then we'll be seeing the 9 that you're looking at. Otherwise, it's going to be a Luigi's Mansion situation to where it's going to be a 9 to where IGN doesn't want to lose access to Nintendo games.
Right? Miyamoto was like, give it a 9. All right. Okay.
Do it.
Do it. Okay, so I'm next then, right?
Yes.
My next one, fun. Nightingale. Okay? This game, announced a while ago, Me and Neil have gone back and forth because it looked like a Neil game. Like, Neil thought it was a him game, but it was never a him game. Yeah. Fun conversation. It's kind of like a Victorian era, like, almost survival MMO sort of thing, is what they've got it kind of billed as. And the messaging on the release date and what it is has been a fucking nightmare, in my opinion. The game looks cool whenever they show the game, but they haven't been able to give us like a firm time of when it's coming out. And I even remember when they first announced it, they said, join the beta now, being like, oh, you could play it now. And the beta wasn't even like, you joined a newsletter to possibly know when to ask them to join the beta. This has a release date for a beta. And that is February of next year right now, as it stands. Actually, let me just look it up on Steam real quick. Sorry if you guys lose Neil's face for a second. February 22nd, to be exact. Now, this is tricky because IGN doesn't always do a review for a beta. Sometimes they do. They reviewed the Grounded beta. They gave it a very poor score before then reviewing it again when it came out fully and giving it a high score. So the question is, will they review a beta? I'm going to assume they will, because it's going to be a slow year next year, and this has been relatively high profile as far as it goes. And I think it's going to get a 5. 5, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh. Going super low. Hate to do this. Hate to be that guy. I don't think this game is ready. I don't think it's been ready. I think they showed it too early, and now they're trying to justify like its existence by having it come out and people paying money for it. I think we're definitely going to be in a real rough situation with that one. I'm hoping I'm wrong with this one. It's one that's on my wish list. It's one that I've been excited about. It looks interesting. It looks different. It's from Mass Effect creators. I think I want it to be good. I don't think it's going to be good right off the bat. I think that this one will have to be a comeback story, if anything, and it's going to start out 5. It's going to be a buggy mess that might have its fun moments.
So, wow, I'm actually going to go a little bit easier game than you are.
I know. I'm sure you expected me to go higher on that one.
Yeah, I definitely did. That said, it ain't much higher. I'm going to say that IGN is going to give it a 6. And the reason I'm going to say that they're going to give it a 6 is because I feel like it's going to be a meta thing. They're going to talk about it because it's going to be in the zeitgeist. They're going to review it, but I don't think they'll go so low as to give it a 5. I think they'll give it a 6 as basically aggressively okay.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Interesting to see that. I'm 5 is low. 5 is risky because IGN does not give out much under 6. Did you see that they rushed to give Day Before a 1 so that they could give the first 1 in like 10 years or something?
No.
I was like, come on. First of all, you know that game isn't even a 1. Like it's probably like at least a 2 or a 3 just with recycled assets, you know?
It was a gimmick play. I want to suck a tangent on that real quick.
Sure, go for it.
This is just the indicator, basically, mm-hmm. of what IGN is doing anymore.
Yep.
What is the purpose of reviewing that game?
Yep.
Everybody kind of knows that it's going to be a 1. It's not like, even with like Kong Skull, the Kong game, what was it? Rise of Kong Skull Island, whatever the hell they called it. That would have never fallen under the radar. There's tons of games that come out mm-hmm. that don't get reviews on it. They only want to chase what's going to be popular.
Yep.
They don't care like how like
they're chasing clicks.
They're chasing clicks. Yeah, that's what I basically am trying to say.
And it was click worthy to hate on that game right then.
Exactly.
So, that's exactly right. So they don't give out a lot of these, but I think Nightingale is going to be one that is going to kind of upset people a little bit, and I think that that's where that's going to come from in a lot of ways. All right, it's your turn again. This is your third, right?
Yeah. Yep, right. My last one here. So this one's going to be pretty interesting, I think, too. after it came out this past year with Naught But a Whimper and wasn't nominated for anything, really. Well, no, I'm sorry. I think it was nominated, but didn't really stand much of a chance of winning, and got torn apart at the opening jab at the Game Awards, the Call of Duty campaign. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to put this broadly under Call of Duty as a whole, because I know how they like to go in and review Call of Duty stuff mm-hmm. in chunks. And
Call then of do Duty, a final, shoot a man.
Yeah, do like an average overall. Yeah. Campaign's going to be trash. They're going to praise the multiplayer because it's Call of Duty. I think in the end, the new Call of Duty is going to get a 7 only because of the multiplayer. If we're really nitpicking, I think the campaign's going to get another 6. But Call of Duty as a whole, I would put that at the 7.
Didn't the campaign get a 4 this year? I thought
it was a 6.
I thought I got a 4. I thought I got really low. I thought the 6 was the multiplayer.
Oh.
Here's what I'm saying, because I'm risking it to get the biscuit today, ladies and gentlemen. And really, the fact of the matter on this is I think Call of Duty has slipped from the zeitgeist. I think that in a lot of ways we've seen its power shift away. This year, even.
4, yeah.
Yeah. They gave a 4 to the campaign this year, and they gave a 6 to the multiplayer, if I recall correctly. I think we're going lower. I think we're going to be a 5 next year. I think Call of Duty's Yeesh. Resting on its laurels. It's an annualized franchise, and it doesn't have a way to not rest on its laurels. So if you're going low right now, you're just going to keep going lower until such time as you take a year off and make the product better again. I think we're gonna see it drop even lower, and Call of Duty is going to. Not only that, Call of Duty is pissing its fans off. It's getting rid of game modes that people want, and it's just like doubling down on its battle royale, which was always good but stale at this point. So I think that we're looking at a steady decline for Call of Duty.
And to your point, with an annualized franchise like this, it's too late to make changes to the campaign yep. and multiplayer that's going to be coming out this year.
Yeah, exactly.
They have 3 different teams working on those games, mm-hmm. so they can give them 3 years to develop what it is that they're coming out. This is what happened with Assassin's Creed.
It happened with WWE 2K, too.
Yeah, same thing. It's like those games at least had the wherewithal to be like, whoa, this shit ain't working. We got to take a break yeah. and course correct.
Yeah.
It's at least get it for back the most up. Part.
Yeah, I mean, WWE has gone back to the annualized since 2K22, which on a whole I think is a mistake. But at the same time, 2K22 was really good and 2K23 was arguably better. So, like, that being said, I think that any annualized franchise is going to slowly slide. It's going to slowly slide down because it's just not enough time to make the game. So you're using chunks of the previous game more and more and more and more, and it gets stale. It just gets stale. I think Call of Duty is stale right now. It's the stalest it's ever been. So this next one, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see more stale.
They should try to put it in space.
They should try and put it in fantasy. Fantasy's in right now. That would be great. Baldur's Gate, Call of Duty.
Bro, I'd be there. What? I'd be there. I'd be there in a second.
Just swords
even
and shit?
Even in the Call yeah. of Duty Zombies, the one Zombies map where you're skipping around through time and you're in a Roman Colosseum, even that was the shit.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so my final one. That is what we are down to. It's, of course, going to be this one. Skull and Bones from Ubisoft. What else would it be at this point? Like, me and Skull and Bones have a relationship at this point. Like, I feel like it's like the toxic relationship you're in when you're younger. Like, you're drawn to that person, but you shouldn't be. Skull and Bones is like that for me. So I'm going to try and do this objectively. I have played Skull and Bones on numerous occasions. Neil wanted it to be a talking point today, but I could not get around to playing the most recent beta. And it's coming out supposedly on February 16th, hopefully, so I can get a prediction.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Here's the thing with Skull and Bones. I don't think it's going to be a success. I think in the public eye, I think in the public eye, they will dislike that game greatly. It will not be what they want it to be. It will not be the things. It will not have what they want it to have, and it will have too many microtransactions and secondary sales, whatever, which will force it to be hated by the people. That being said, IGN's last preview, okay, of Skull and Bones was a glowing review. It was absolutely like, this is so much better than anybody thought it was going to be. It was amazing. Like, watch it. They just rave about it for basically 10 straight minutes. I think this is going to be one of the ones where IGN gets wrong, and they do have these relatively a lot. And it's not even that I think they're going to get it wrong. I think that they're going to not look at the price because they never factor the price into their fucking reviews, which is a travesty. They almost never do. Because they have an unlimited budget and they get review copies. So they're never thinking, this cost me $60 and now if I want to buy a pet, it's another $50. You know what I mean? Like, so they're not going to factor that in. They're just going to play the game. And I think the game is quality. It's a quality ship combat MMO. I like it. I have fun with it. Problem is, it's going to be $60. It's going to have a ton of microtransactions. So I think IGN is actually going to give this thing an 8. I think they're going to give it an 8 out of the door. They're going to laud it as something that it is, and the player count is going to drop off the fucking side of a building. And I want to point out that the same exact thing happened with Riders Republic. If I remember correctly, that got an 8. It was a multiplayer. It's not obviously Skull and Bones. It was a multiplayer extreme sports thing, like biking, skateboarding, snowboarding, that sort of thing. That got an 8, and it has not been successful by anybody's imagination. So that's what I think. I think IGN will give it an 8, and the people will hate it.
I think this is going to be the one that we're going to differ the most on.
Okay, cool. I'm excited.
So it's funny because one of the main reasons I was talking about the Skull and Bones thing is there's been a ton of like stories and everything going around that people were quitting like an hour into this open beta and like completely done playing because they said it was actively boring them. I think that IGN is going to, while they may try to talk it up as something that they can justify slapping a 7 on, I honestly think in the end they're going to put a 4 on it.
Oof.
What was the last
Ubisoft game that got a 4, man? I mean, I appreciate your sentiment. I've done some crazy ones. I think you might get hurt on this one. I think at least they'd give it a 5 or 6.
I don't know. It's this game has been such a long and storied development with this, and it's just there's not been much in the way of outside of IGN's own story they did on it.
Yeah.
Good reviews, feedback. Like,
no, the feedback is very negative. That's what I'm saying. It's like the only person who said they liked it is IGN. You know?
And, right. And that's honestly IGN wanting to save face because especially like how can they go now and put like say, hey, this is like actually kind of okay, and then when they actually give a review for it, slap a 4 on it. But I feel like they're trying to save their own ass because I feel like they'd be worried because they love to worry about this kind of stuff. They'd be worried about the kickback from gamers and what they actually think of the game.
Yeah. I don't know. I think again, one of the biggest problems with this game is the public has just decided it was supposed to be something that it was just never supposed to be. And I think that's the biggest problem that they just, like, I don't even think it's their fault, because I don't think necessarily they ever really gave mixed messaging other than the fact that it was a game or a DLC or something else, you know? Like, I don't think they ever really gave mixed messaging on what it was. It's just the public has decided it's a thing, and now that they've decided it's a thing, if it's not that thing, they're not going to be happy with it. And I think that's why people were walking away, because every time I've gone in and played it, I've enjoyed it quite a bit. The only reason I didn't want to go back to it again is because of the fact that every time you play one of those betas, you have to start over, and I just can't go through that tutorial again. So, like, I think that, like, I've enjoyed it, but the problem is it's just not what people want it to be. You talk to anybody about what they think Skull and Bones is or what they think Skull and Bones should be, that's not what the game is. And the game's not bad, it's just not that. And I think that I don't know how they get around it, like the public perception of it. So, like, I think they were hoping that, like, they would release this beta, people would play it and go, oh, it's not this, but it's really cool. But instead they just got mad that it wasn't the thing that they wanted to be, you know? So,
right.
I don't know. I think we'll still get an 8. This will be an interesting one to see, though. But that's the last one, right?
That is the last one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to do the newsy bits and then be done.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our last segment, the news. That's where me and Neil, we collect headlines that we think you guys should be aware of, we want to riff about, we want to tell each other about, but they don't necessarily deserve a full talking point, or they're just so negative we don't want to. So we're going to talk about it here. I only have 2, Neil has 3, so Neil's going to start us off. Neil, hit us with some news.
Alrighty, well, the first one I'm going to go with is we had a very brief exchange about anyways. I've got the first loss on the predictions for the year already.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right from the jump, it was E3's done. Like, yeah, it was done before. It's kind of weird. They almost dug up the corpse of E3 to really prove to us that E3 is dead.
Yeah.
The ESRB basically was like, hey, we decided we're not going to do this anymore just because it seems like everybody else is kind of doing their own thing anyways. So they came to the realization that we all did a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. It was just more of an acceptance thing. So yeah, it sucks to hear it again, but I mean, again, it's not super surprising overall.
It's antiquated,
I definitely
man.
Thought, yeah, it is. It's definitely antiquated. And it's also, you know, I was expecting some stupid shit, like, you know, because E3 has been a lot of stupid shit the past few years.
Yeah.
That's why I genuinely, like, I believed in my heart
they were going to try.
We're going to announce the return of E3 in 2025. Yeah. But now, unfortunately, it's done for good.
Well, my first one, thankfully, was the almost prediction I made, but not. And that is Larian has gone out and directly said that Baldur's Gate 3 will never be on Game Pass. Almost as if they listened to the podcast and were like, we've got to tell people. They have specifically stated that Baldur's Gate 3 is a lot of game. We think that it has a price for a reason, and it's going to stay that way. So they have no intention of ever putting it on Game Pass. I think that's weird. Just given all the reasons that I said before when I said that prediction, I put it in a bonus. I think we talked about it in between, but I put it in a bonus or an opening where I basically stated that I thought that they had made a deal to put it on Game Pass in like 6 to 8 months to make up for the lack of parity that they had between the S mm-hmm. and the X. But they have gone on to a mountaintop and basically, like, almost like 1 week after I said that, basically got on a mountaintop and said never. So yeah.
I think that game is so successful. I think that it would do them, and they kind of know this, which is why they publicly said this, it would do them more of a disservice to completely alienate the purchases, because for the Xbox version of the game, mm-hmm. We've kind of, you know, tried to parse how it is that Game Pass works,
mm-hmm.
Which I would love to know how those agreements
work. I mean, people
out.
Are making their money, that's for sure. I just don't
right.
know how.
But that's the thing is, knowing full well that people will absolutely go ahead and spend full retail price on those games. Like, Baldur's Gate 3 is one of those to where, like, I didn't feel bad paying $75 for it, because there's like $150 worth of game there and some.
Right.
Like, it is absolutely worth it, and they know it, and I'm glad they know the worth of what it is that they have. It's funny because I remember when the whole list of, like, you know, the Xbox leaks and everything were coming out, and where Microsoft was trying to buy Larian and everything. I almost wonder if Larian did almost say yes at one point. Mm. But in the end decided to not. And it's just great that now, like, that the game is a juggernaut success. That in the end they came out on top of all of that. They stuck to their guns and they're getting rewarded for it.
I completely agree. And I don't know how much I put of our conversation in, but I had even said that, like, I don't think that, like, they would ever need to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's a reason to do it. I think that, like, that game is powerful and it's going to sell copies on until the end of fucking time. So they're safe. I thought maybe an agreement had been made. But I didn't make it a prediction, so I haven't lost a point. Yay me.
That is true.
Your turn.
So interesting news came out recently that got more of a reaction from, like, the gaming community than I thought was going to get. Naughty Dog has officially canceled The Last of Us Online.
I
saw that.
I almost put this on mine.
This was something they've been working on for a while. It's interesting because a lot of people had a lot of shit to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, they had said, we made the hard decision that, you know, we're just not going to move forward with the development. It's not working out the way that we thought it was gonna. It's not getting what we wanted to get out of it. You know, it's more work than it's going to be worth in the end. I'm glad they had the introspective on that, but I also don't know how I feel about everybody having this being some massive insight. That, a developer, you know, Naughty Dog, who just put out a bunch of stuff, decided to cancel a project because it's not working out the way they thought it was going to work out, or it's not the way they thought it should be. I mean, personally, I don't know. I'm not a business guy. I'm not a game developer. I don't know. But usually when things aren't going the way that you want them to, or you don't think it's going to be worth it in the end, you cut your losses and dip. Seems like a no-brainer to me, but who knows? I'm not of that world. I can't sit there and say, you know, what is good and what isn't good. I think it's more so interesting, like, the reaction that it got from people, because it's not like they announced The Last of Us Part 3 and canceled it. It was an online multiplayer spin-off.
Yeah, I guess. Wasn't this included in the original game, though? Like, if you got the remake, you got this online version? Like, that's part of the purchase price of the original. On the front of the whole thing of Naughty Dog being lauded, Naughty Dog is another one like Kojima that gets a lot of, like, freebies. Like, I don't know. They get a lot of leeway with everybody, and I don't think they deserve it. I think they make some quality products. That's fine. But, like, I don't think that they deserve the reverie that they get for the games that they've made. And they definitely... In the last couple of years, they've definitely made a huge amount of mistakes, and nobody seems to hold them to task for it. Like, it's okay because it's Naughty Dog. That's frustrating to me. On the subject of the multiplayer, I was under the impression that that was supposed to be part of the remake, because the original remake had some multiplayer features that they cut. Not the original remake. The original game had multiplayer features they cut, and then said that they were going to, in the future, announce this multiplayer. So to me, I would be pretty pissed if I bought the remake on the basis of, like, oh, you cut this multiplayer, I'm getting a different multiplayer, and I never got any multiplayer whatsoever. Like, that's part of the purchase price. Like, this game came out, what, like, 6 or 7 years ago? They've already remade it, and they sold it for full price? Like...
So
and they cut something out of it. Like, that to me is bullshit.
So that part, I mean, I didn't know anything about that part. I thought it was its own standalone thing that they were doing.
It might have been.
It definitely
thought it was with the game.
It definitely changes things if that's the case.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, if it was, like, included as, you know, basically, like, the price of admission, you buy the game and you get this thing, too. Yeah, 100%, then that's definitely something worth complaining about, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not 100% positive, but I thought it was, and that's where I thought the outrage was coming from. It's like,
yeah, it definitely,
you're supposed to get.
Yeah, if that was the case, then 100% absolutely, people need to be pissed about it.
Yeah. So my last one is just this thing that I think is so fucking cool. I don't know if you saw this. Have you seen the lump of coal ban from Dota? Dota 2?
No.
Okay, so Dota is a massive online battle arena, the MOBA. Mm. I don't play it. I don't play those kind of games. Not that I have anything against them. I just don't play them. But they're huge as far as, like, player counts and, like, multiplayer, right? But they also have a lot of cheating. I mean, every multiplayer game has attempted cheating. Which, honestly, has been, again, a big problem for Call of Duty. They recently had, like, a freeze ray from zombies, like, get hacked into the game, and then everybody's running around with the freeze ray, because their anti-cheat is just terrible. But Dota's anti-cheat is pretty good, because it's Valve, and Valve goes fucking off. They actually, whenever they decide to go on these hacker hunts in Dota, they'll straight up call it a bloodbath. They're like, another bloodbath is coming. And then they'll, like, drop the ban hammer on, like, 90,000 accounts and stuff. Like, Smurf accounts and everything. So, fun story. There was a streamer who got banned because he had a Smurf account. He has since begged for leniency and apologized to Valve. Do you know how he got banned, though? So, when playing, he got this reward, and it was called, it was in his email, and it was a special season reward, is what it was marked as. So he clicked on it, and it brings up a picture, and it's a picture of a lump of coal, and it says, "You've cheated. You've been very naughty. Here's your lump of coal, and now that you have it, you can't play your game anymore." And then all he would get when he would go back into Dota was a picture of this lump of coal. So that's how they ban thing. Like, even the streamer was like, so I could have gotten away with this if I never opened the seasonal reward. Like, but yeah, the minute they open it, it bans when you get the coal. I thought this was just hysterical to me.
That's great.
I love it when a company goes after cheaters. I love it even more when it basically flips them the finger while doing it. And this was like, this was great.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. I love dumb, stupid shit like that. I love stuff like that in games in general. In fact, it kind of is a nice little lean in to my last one.
Yay.
It's kind of dumb, but kind of great at the same time. There is an indie game out there called Lethal Company, and they're doing something very interesting with their arachnophobia mode. So instead of having, you know, the weird spider blobs that they have on what was the Grounded? Yeah.
Which is way scarier. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, this is not scary. Just this floating goo
growling at you and snapping at you.
There is just the word in 3D art, spider. So it's funny because I was reading an article about this, and the article made an argument saying that it's all they needed to do. And the argument was, like, you already know what the fuck is going on. You already know what a spider looks like. You already know you hate it. All you need to know is spider. And sure enough, you know what's up.
Let's nominate these guys for accessibility award.
No, that's fantastic. I absolutely love that.
Spider.
It's funny, but it also like accomplishes a purpose.
I would only ever be able to hear the word like spoken monotonely to me too, you know, like if I saw spider, 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 yeah. Spider. It's hysterical. All right, well, that's it for our news, right?
Yeah, that's
it. We're done, ladies and gentlemen. We're done for 2023. How exciting.
For the year.
We're going to pause. We're going to come back with one final plug. And, well, not for you guys. You guys are going to hear us plug for the next 2 weeks. But for us. Yeah, then we're going to go to sleep for 2 whole weeks.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that brings us to the end of the show and the shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, plug, sir.
Well,
it just aired. No, it's about to. No, it's about to air. About to air.
No, because that's been the whole lead-in.
About to air. About to air.
Yeah, the final episode of of Redfall Down is anticlimactic as that is. Oh boy.
That was pretty climactic. It was climactic for me to hit that uninstall button.
Yeah, it was climactic for a completely different reason and not what...
I watched the credits for way longer than I should have.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, the final episode of Redfall Down is coming out here, and that god-awful nightmare will be done and over.
Yay! Yay, it's over. The Lasso 3 will return. I really want to set up a stream with you three and Stella in Party Animals. I want to see if we can't do that over the holiday. I put that into Kayla's mind because I want to do that. That would make Stella's day, and I think that'd be funny as hell.
That would be very interesting. However, we like to say fuck a lot, so.
I know we do, but I'm going to go ahead and say this. While the internet will probably be mad at us, I say fuck around my kid all the time. It's terrible to the point where Stella has started saying fuck. But she masks it, which is funny. Like, she'll, like, stub her toe, and I'll just hear her go, fuck. I'm like, what did you say? And she's like, nothing.
She's doing it right.
She's doing it right. She never does it wrong, and she, so far, we have not heard anything from school. That's my good. Big thing. I keep that's telling her, I'm like, look, you're going to get yelled at home, but really, I don't want to hear about it from a teacher. I hear about it from a teacher, that's when we have problems. But yeah, I think it could still be fun. We slip a couple of times. I think it'll be okay, but I think it would be hysterical to have four of us on there and it'd make Stella's day. So pass that along to Kayla. See what you guys think about that, because I think that'd be really fun to do. Yeah. And this is really the only chance we'd get to plug it.
Yeah, it's true.
Other than that, we're on a mostly a break from streaming. I am still doing War Tales on Tuesday as my kind of lunch stream thing. But other than that, we don't have any more TTRPGs this year, but we're coming back hot and heavy with the TTRPGs. Astral Drive returns for Season 2. We've got more Stump Gang. And we actually have two more TTRPG products. Projects we're in... we're in the work on. One probably isn't coming out for very long because we're pre-recording all of it. But the other one, we're going to start working. That'll include Neil. So keep your eyes open for that. We're excited. As far as anything else goes, if you have any interest in tabletop role-playing games, please go to itch.io and buy my game. It's on sale right now up until the 23rd. For only $5.10. So buy a copy. Buy a copy for a friend. It's $5.10. You don't need that. I do. So other than that,
your money.
Right. Other than that, you guys can check out everything this channel has to offer. You can contact us on Facebook at OldManGamingDH, on Twitter at OldManGaming9. You can join our Discord. Link is in the description below. Influence us in all of our shows from there, and as long as you keep watching and listening, we will keep making it. See you guys in 2024. And by that, I mean there is still a Horrible Game Awards and a pre-tape show. So you guys will still get content. But
Still two more episodes.
Still come back. It's just...
Yeah, no, definitely come back. Yes, please.
And post your comments. We'll read them. Just not until 2024. All right. We'll see you guys then.
been struggling to write and type all day today. I don't know what my deal is.
Yeah, it must be hard for you being 10 years younger than me. Shut the fuck up. That's what you get for the rest of the day. You knew what you were doing.
It's like, it's almost like you know the what's going to happen in the end. Like the guy making his way for the microwave at work who has fish. Everybody knows what's happening.
Yeah.
And the guy who knows, who has the fish, he knows. He knows what he's doing as well. I have been the guy with the fish. And I definitely have been the guy with the fish before.
Sometimes I think you revel in being the guy with the fish.
Sometimes I do. I won't lie.